The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccount. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. How are you doing this morning? My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. And guess what? No football today, but that's not a bad thing because the Patriots are going to the Super Bowl next Sunday. This week, you get a little reprieve. You get your Sunday back. You get to enjoy the day, do whatever you want to do, because next Sunday, you've got plans. You're busy, you're tied up, and fortunately, you actually have the whole day on Sunday because the Patriots don't play again until like 6:30 next Sunday. What a great game we had this past week. What a great two games there were. If you happen to watch both games, they were unbelievable. You know, riveting on the edge of your seat. I do feel bad for the New Orleans Saints. I mean, that was a tough, tough call. No one knows what the outcome would have been had they called that that pass interference call, but who knows? I mean, that is really, really unfortunate. It really does begin to address the issue of, do we really need to start looking at these pass interference calls and putting them under review as well? But hey, this isn't sports talk radio, so we're not going to get into that debate. We're going to talk about the money and where the money goes and how the money is spent. And man, if you want to spend some money, I've got a place where you can spend a lot of money next week, and that's in Atlanta. Man, you want to get tickets, or you know, people say, well, I got tickets to the game, I'm able to go. Well, I will tell you, the tickets are the cheap part. The cheap part, because I've been to a few Super Bowls. If I don't know if you've known this, I've talked about this on the radio. I actually was in a Super Bowl. That's right, 1986, when the Patriots played the Bears. Remember that with Refrigerator Perry and all that? Well, the Patriots got killed. The game was, I don't know, about 600-3, I think, was the final score. Patriots did score first. But I did play the halftime show. I was in a music group called Up With People, and I played the halftime show there, playing from the yellow. I was wearing a yellow sweatshirt. I'm sure you remember me on the 50-yard line playing the keyboard. I'm sure it was recognizable. If social media was as popular then as it is now, perhaps I would have done something stupid in the moments that you saw me, and it would have turned into a meme and all that stuff. But you go to YouTube and you search Mark Friedman, Super Bowl 20, or just actually, you don't have to look Mark Friedman. I don't think I'm tagged in it, actually. You can go Super Bowl 20 halftime show. And if you watch the halftime show, I'm the guy, the only person in the middle pod there playing the keyboards in the yellow sweatshirt. Yep, that was me. So I was there. Back then, didn't have much money to spend, so and fortunately, everything was relatively taken care of for me. I did go to Super Bowl, I forget the number. It was the Super Bowl when the Patriots played the Carolina Panthers, and they played down in Houston. I went with a friend of mine. He had a friend who knew someone in the Patriots ticket office, whatever. We got tickets to go to the game, but man, was it expensive. We went down there. We wanted to just stay in a hotel somewhere near Houston. We stayed about 40 minutes away at, I believe it was a Comfort Inn, and it was a three-night minimum, and it was $370 a night. And it was just insane. Everything was just ridiculously priced because they know they got you. It's their moment in Houston to charge whatever the heck they wanted. Meals outrageously expensive. But I will tell you, if you do go, here's the big secret. You want to save money. Actually, the best thing that happened when we went to Houston was the third day, the day after the Super Bowl. We had to spend an extra night there. Well, if you've ever been to any of these championship games, or if you've even been here to the Salem Country Club when they do the Senior Open, things like that, they've got that big merchandise tent. And they're always selling all this merchandise for ridiculously priced levels. However, you go into the tent that they have for the Super Bowl with all of the stuff, whether it's commemorative footballs or hats or iPads or shirts or sweatpants, I don't know, shoelaces, whatever it is that they have. You go in the day after, 70 to 80% off everything. And we, my friend and I walked into that tent and we saw, you know, Tom Brady shirts that had the little the logo from the Super Bowl on it. I still have them. Super Bowl shirts, Super Bowl everything that you could possibly imagine. We actually went in, we then left, went to a Target, bought a suitcase, went back, and then bought a ton of stuff. I bought those, you know, those tiny little footballs that have the commemorative logo. They were like 60 cents a piece. So you'd buy 10 of them because they all became gifts now to all these people. Everything. Oh, it was great. So if you want to save money, my advice to you, if you're going to the Super Bowl, don't buy anything in the merchandise tent before the Super Bowl starts. But once it's over, if you're there next day, they don't want to keep anything. They want to get rid of it so quickly. Go in there. You will find bargains galore. Hopefully, you'll walk out of there with, but not only feeling good about the purchases that you made, but you'll also walk out of there with a victory behind you. Let's hope the Patriots can pull off some more magic. And that really was what that was. That was magic, but it was also great intensity, great patience. I don't know about you, but I mean, my heart was racing. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm just a guy sitting on the couch. If I'm Tom Brady and I'm facing 3rd and 8, 3rd and 11, 3rd and 15, 3rd and 5, and nailing them every single time, that was just unbelievable. What patience, what skill, and I don't think the offensive line gets enough credit for what they've done in the past two playoff games. So anyways, yeah, I do love watching the Patriots. Are the Bruins even playing? Who knows? Celtics is starting to pick it up again. They went through a little bit of a losing streak. Kyrie's really showing what he can do over the past few games. That's been really wonderful. Red Sox spring training camp starting up soon. Pitchers and catchers start to report in just a few weeks. The bus is going to start heading down there. So we got lots of things to be excited about when it comes to our sporting town. You know, I was saying a couple of years ago, about a year ago, I bought a T-shirt. There's this website called Chowderheads. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. Chowderheads with a Z at the end. And I have this picture of a fist with the fist has a bunch of rings on it. Some have Patriots. It has all the four teams and all the championships and all the number of wins. And I realized I bought this shirt a year ago and it's too old now. It's now, I guess, a vintage shirt because we've had the Red Sox have a championship already since I bought that shirt. Perhaps the Patriots will have a championship. Well, they have an AFC championship, but those don't count here around New England. AFC championship. Who needs that? We go for Super Bowl championships, that's all. And I'm going to have to buy new shirts now and new everything. So it's fun to have to be able to chant beat L.A., though. I mean, we did it with the Celtics, Lakers, Red Sox, Dodgers just this past year. And once again, we can start the chant of beat L.A. So it'll be fun. I'm hoping Rams fans actually show up to the game. Because if you've ever been to a Lakers game or you've been to a Dodgers game, those fans in L.A. are rather fickle. They'll show up, you know, 10 minutes after the game starts. So it'll be interesting to see who shows up. But I think we all know that any game that involves the Patriots, it's basically New England against the world. And that's what it's going to be. But we'll be rooting for them. So welcome to a great Sunday where you get to have a day of rest so that you can rest up for next Sunday's Super Bowl game. Anyways, I'm here with financial advice in a language you can understand. That's what we do here each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. My name, once again, is Mark Friedman. I am the host of this show, Dollars and Cents, that we've been doing here at North Shore 104.9 for, I don't know, 6 or 7 years now. Who knows? It's been a long, long time. I've had the great pleasure of meeting so many of you who listen to the show. You've either called my office, you've emailed us, you've come in for an initial appointment, you've become long-term clients of the office as well. And we are, I should tell you this, we are open for business. I mean, we've gone through a very wild ride over the past 12 to 14 months. Many people wondering, am I doing the right thing? Do I have my financial house in order? Where can I turn to get fiduciary-driven advice, advice that puts your interests first? Well, that's what we do at Friedman Financial. And if now's the time for you to get serious about your financial plan, about your retirement future, give my office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. 800-516-8108. You know, a couple weeks ago, or about a week and a half ago, I should say, you've probably received your December statement, and man, was that miserable. You opened up that envelope, and you saw, oh my God, look how much money I lost. Interestingly enough, as I told you, I thought we would get lots of calls in my office from our clients. But fortunately, I guess either they listen to this show, or they read our weekly newsletter that comes out, or they review some of the communications that we've sent, so that they were well prepared. And we really didn't get many calls over the phone at all from people that were concerned. And what's happened is what we fully expected to have happen, despite the fact that last year, stock market, actually almost every stock-based category, both domestically and internationally, were in the negative territory for the year. The stock market dropped, I guess it was almost 11% in the last month of the year. But what's really interesting, for those that stuck it out, and we've told you to stick it out, because there was no real compelling reason for the market to stay down as long as it was, as far as it was, to stay down that long. There's no long-term major concerns that ripple out there into the messaging of economics, of corporate earnings, or anything else that you should be concerned about. Our banking system works. Remember, that's what happened in 2007, 2008. The banking system was close to failing. And if you couldn't get your money out of the bank, if you didn't feel good about being able to access funds, or if for whatever reason you couldn't pay the mortgage on your house because you just lost your job and that was going to be a long-term recurring thing, those are things to be concerned about. The fact that the United States and China can't come to an agreement on tariffs, the fact that the government drags their feet on deciding whether the government should stay open or not, those are all, frankly, minor issues. They really are in the whole scheme of things. We move forward through those things. The wariness about whether interest rates are going up or going down. Those things wobble all the time. Those will always be news of the day. They'll create sparks of uncertainty. But in the long term, you're going to be just fine. And as we turn to the corner into January 1st, look, year to date, as I just look through a schedule that I have here as of the 21st of January, so roughly 3 weeks into the month. Year to date, nobody's talking about the fact that the S&P 500 is up 6.63% year to date through January 21st, 2019, according to JP Morgan Asset Management. That the Russell 2000 is up 9.97%. That the international index, which was down roughly 12 or 14% for the year, is up 5% year to date as of January 21st, 2019. It's really amazing, folks. Things do turn around. Did you know that if you had invested much of your money on a year-to-date basis in what's called small cap growth, the asset class that is considered the small upcoming companies that frankly have a lot of risk attached to them, they can go both up and down, and they were hit the hardest last year, on a year-to-date basis through January 21st, they're up on average 10.3%. And what's leading the way? What's leading the way year to date? Energy stocks. Energy stocks are leading the way. Not technology, not telecommunication, but energy, financials, and industrials. It's a different world out there. Things change. They go through cycles. And what we're here to do is provide you financial advice in a language you can understand. And we've got lots more to share. You know, we're going to get back to the basics when we return. I'm going to talk to you about this very simple concept. And it's called a mutual fund. And I think people are trying to get away from it. They're looking at ETFs. They're looking at individual stocks. I'm going to talk to you about what a mutual fund is and why this may be the smartest investment you could make as you begin planning for your retirement. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
This is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent, and we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108, or on the web at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D. FreedmanFinancial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Freedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Freedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Freedman. I'm president and CEO of Freedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Alto Forno Restaurant. If you don't know where Alto Forno is, I bet you know where Long's Jewelers is as you drive up the hill towards the mall. Well, just after Long's is this white brick building, a white stucco building, I should say. Alto Forno, a great Italian restaurant on the first floor. We are on the second floor and would love to see if you happen to be in the neighborhood, swing by, say hello. Not many people stop in and just swing by and say hello. Most people come by with an appointment. But hey, if you're around from 8:30 to 5, you listen to the show, you got nothing to do, you want to just see if Mark's around or me, if I'm around and just want to sit down and have a cup of coffee, you can usually find time for some folks. So swing by. I don't mind. I don't mind. I challenge you now. Will you really swing by? People will say, if you come to my office, one thing people love when they get to my office, we have lots of chocolate. So, hey, if you like chocolate, then I'll even give you a free pen. So, no, I'm not begging you to come by. I'm really not. But if you want to swing by, if you're in the neighborhood, want to swing by and tell me what you really think about the radio show, go ahead. 41 Cross Street. We're up on the second floor. 8:30 to 5 are our hours. Swing by. But seriously, if you're interested in saying to yourself, you know, I've been trying to do this on my own, or I've been working with an advisor, and we've been getting a lot of calls lately about this, and this is usually what happens when the market's have some challenging periods of time. They say, you know, I've been with this advisor for 10 or 5 or 15 years. And it's past 6 months have been rather challenging. And you know what? I never heard from him or her. It seems like you communicate with your clients, Mark. Well, yeah, we do. Let me tell you how we communicate with our clients, actually, and how we've done this, actually, since March of 2009. From March of 2009, almost 10 years ago, was when the market hit its bottom. The market was down like almost 45% from its high back from 2007, 2008. It was like March of 2009 when the Dow Jones Industrial was around 6,000 something. And of course, it was a scary time for a lot of people. Certainly far more scary than what it was over the past 6 months here. These are people that had lost their jobs. Unemployment was hovering close to the 10% range. You weren't certain whether banks had found out that they'd been lending money to people who couldn't afford to pay the mortgages on their homes. Banks were worrying if they're going to become insolvent. Banks were wondering, can we continue to maintain our guarantees of being able to provide money to individuals? Retail stores were suffering because people didn't have money to spend. Cars weren't being purchased. People were saying, you know what? I'm going to push off my car purchase for another 4, 6, 9 months. I'll stretch my car out for one more year because I simply don't have the money. We were really struggling here as a country, and people had a lot of questions, and many advisors were hiding under their desks. The number one thing that came out in this advisor report was that what clients want more than anything else is they wanted to hear from their advisor. And so what we realized back in 2009, that the way to combat that is that we couldn't keep picking up the phone and calling people every day, because what I learned in 2009 and even late into 2008, I would pick up the phone and call people periodically just to see how they were doing. And I realized that my phone call ruined their day. It would be the middle of the summer or they're out raking the leaves in the fall. And I called just to, hey, just wanted to check in, make a little courtesy call. Make sure you're doing all right. I know the market's been really wobbly and just want to be sure you're all right. And they would say, you know, Mark, I was out today and raking the leaves. I had the music in my ears, hanging out, just really just kind of enjoying the day. And thanks for ruining it for me to remind me that my account is down again. And so communication has to be delicate in the way we do this. So what we decided to do was March of 2009, we created this newsletter that we call Planning Pointers. March of 2009, Friday, I forget the first week, it might have been the second or third week in March, we decided it would come out at 10:30 in the morning on Friday. And believe it or not, here we are in January of 2019, and that newsletter still lands in your inbox every Friday at 10:30, and we have more than, I think it's almost 7,000 subscribers now to our newsletter. The newsletter is designed to provide you with one thing and one thing only, financial advice in a language you can understand. It's that simple. It's three little very short stories, less than 100 words apiece. You click on the story further if you want to learn more, but generally you get the gist of what it's all about in 100 words. It tries to help you understand that the world of personal finance, the world that you're involved in, the world of personal finance that we each one of us touch each and every day, doesn't necessarily revolve around the stock market. What meat we choose to buy at the local butcher shop, where we choose to get our haircut, what clothes we choose to buy, where we choose to vacation, the cars we choose to purchase. Every single one of those is a money decision. And Planning Pointers, my weekly newsletter that lands in your inbox each and every Friday, 10:30 in the morning, highlights a lot of different things. In fact, just this past week, we talked about the fact that maybe you're not aware of this, but you can actually get almost 1,000% increase, 1,000% increase on the rate you're getting at the local bank. What? 1,000% increase? Yeah, we proved that. We talked about this a little bit last week, but I'm telling you again, this really was an eye-opener to folks. I got a lot of nice emails from folks that had heard this story. If you're at one of the big banks, the real giant colossal banks, the Bank of America's, the Bank Santander, the TD Banks of the world, the Wells Fargo's of the world, you take a look to see what those savings and money market rates are, and you're still probably at 0.03, maybe you're at 0.1, 0.07. It's horrible. But if you look at what the regional banks are offering, and I'll use, there's the Salem Fives, the Institution for Savings, the East Boston Savings, North Shore Bank, any of these regional banks that are around, folks, you can get savings, money market rates close to 2%. To go from 0.1 to 2%, that's thousands of percentage points of return that you get instantly on your money. And it's risk-free. You know what it requires you to do? To either click a few buttons on your computer or make a visit to your area bank. Those are the types of pieces of advice, what I call financial advice in a language you can understand, that we include in our newsletter. See, it's not always about whether you're owning the right mutual funds or the right bond funds or the right asset allocation or the right investment strategy. Yeah, we talk a lot about that in our practice and in business, but it's far more, when you're talking about personal finance, it covers a lot more than that. So if you'd like our newsletter, if you want access to this newsletter and access it like 7,500 other people do, go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page on the website. Put in your name, your email address, and we just added this new little function, this little CAPTCHA function that we have on the bottom. Because for whatever reason, I don't know how our website got out there, but we got into all these other spam things or whatever. We were getting all these crazy signups for the newsletter from, I don't believe they were actually from people. They were probably from these, what they call spam bots or whatever. So all you got to do is hit that extra check mark to prove that you really are a person and you're not a robot. We'll get you signed up for the newsletter. So when we last left you in the first segment, I was talking to you about the basic of basic investments that most people invest in, whether you're newly getting started or whether you're 99 years old. Most people own what's called a mutual fund. Yet, when I sit down with individuals in my office or people start asking me about mutual funds, I say, well, what can you tell me about how a mutual fund works? And most people give me a blank stare. They go, I got a pretty good idea. So if they say I got a pretty good idea, I said, well, why don't you explain to me how that works so that I don't make any assumptions. I want to make sure that you understand how it works. And many times people do not understand how it works. So I thought I'd give you a little primer on this. And that's what this really is. We know this is back to basics stuff, the ABCs of investing. Here's what it is. A mutual fund is essentially a collection of people who choose to pool their investments into one big bucket of money. So I want you to imagine a big bucket of money. People like you and me and corporations and people who participate in 401k plans, people who just got an inheritance, they all want to invest in a strategy that is risk managed, yet they all say, look, I want to buy an investment that has a collection of, let's say, stocks in this case. And that can be stocks, it can be bonds, it can be a combination, but let's say it's a collection of stocks. They say, I don't want to buy one stock, but I'd love to have ownership in a lot of stocks. So let's say they hire a manager, a portfolio manager is the person that runs a mutual fund. And so you hire this portfolio manager who works for the XYZ Large Cap Growth Fund. And I'll just use that as an example. And when you hear Large Cap Growth Fund, if you've listened to my show before, you know that the S&P 500 is made up of 500 large cap stocks. 250 of them are considered large cap value, 250 are large cap growth. What's the difference between value and growth? Well, there's a lot of ways to define it, but I'm going to make it really simple. Think about growth as these are stocks, these are companies that take their profits and they reinvest it back into the company to make new and improved products. A value company, on the other hand, takes their profits and takes a portion of those profits and pays it to you as a shareholder in the form of a dividend. So in the example I just presented to you, I said this portfolio manager and all these people that are pooling their money, they say, I want to buy an investment that is run by a manager who buys large cap growth stocks. So we know now that the universe that this portfolio manager can pull from is 250 stocks, large cap growth stocks. And so there's a few rules about what this manager can do. He has to build a portfolio that is diversified, which means that it includes several different stocks in the portfolio. In fact, one of the rules is he cannot, for a period of time, have any one stock that represents more than 5% of the portfolio. So think about this. If you can't have more than 5% of the money in the portfolio owning any one stock, what's the minimum number of stocks you must have in the portfolio? Well, that would be 20, because you take 5% to 100%, that's 20. Generally, large cap growth funds can have upwards of 75 to 200 stocks in the portfolio. But it's up to this manager who says, I want to own Coca-Cola, I want to own Intel, I want to own Google, I want to own Netflix, I want to own Amazon. And based upon the amount of money that's in the portfolio, he or she or the team of these folks get to buy shares of these stocks. Now, they don't have to buy the same amount in every single one of these stocks. They can create whatever weighting they want. But unlike you, who could go out and buy, you know, you go to E-Trade, go to any online brokerage firm where you could buy 100 shares of, let's say, Amazon, this manager, because there's so much money in the pools, usually $500 million or more, can buy 1 million shares of Amazon. Now, who do you think is going to make a more informed decision, the person or the team that's responsible for buying 1 million shares of Amazon or 100 shares of Amazon? I'd like to think that if you thought about how much money 1 million shares of Amazon is, and I don't even want to do the math, it's millions and millions and millions of dollars. That team of people are going out to visit Amazon. They're going out to talk to Jeff Bezos and all of his sub-managers and their sub-managers, and they're walking the floor. They're going to the shipping areas. They're looking at the technology. They're looking at every aspect of Amazon to say, is this company operating properly? If you were to buy 100 shares of Amazon, what are you doing for research? You're either believing what you've read in a research report, or you're saying, huh, that Amazon company feels pretty good. Looks like it dropped 10 points. Maybe it's a good buy. Who's the more informed investor here? Well, being the informed investor makes being rational about your strategy a lot smarter. And there's more to the story. Mutual funds carry a lot of benefits, and I want to share those with you, but we got to take a quick break. When we get back, let's continue the story of what a mutual fund is and why it works for a lot of people here in America. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Hi, it's Bill Haney, owner of the North Shore Music Theater. 2019 will be my 10th season producing shows, and what a great season we have planned.
The season opens with a high-stepping, beloved classic musical, Oklahoma. Next up, it's Disney's new musical version of the hysterical movie, Freaky Friday. Then join us for the hottest ticket of the summer, Jersey Boys. The 2019 season continues with Andrew Lloyd Webber's musical masterpiece, Sunset Boulevard. The season will close with the area's premiere of The Bodyguard, featuring more than 15 hit songs made famous by Whitney Houston. You won't want to miss a single show in 2019.
I got a funny feeling when she walked in the room.
Nobody.
join us for a show, visit nsmt.org.
All we
dance
was so sad.
Don't you want to dance?
I don't know.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, where we've been providing financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families living on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, the Southern New Hampshire area, and frankly, anywhere else you've chosen to move to as long as you've had roots here. We've been doing it for 50 years. Long, long time. Dad started this business in 1968. I joined the firm in 1991, bought the business from my father in 2007. I run it now with my business partner, Marion Gilman, who joined our firm in July of 2000. Things are going great at our business. Man, we've seen so many people who listen to this radio show. They come to seek advice that, what I call financial advice in a language you can understand. They want it simplified. They want to get communication. They want to be sure that they have access to their information online. They want all this information, but more so than just their investment account, but everything else, and that's what we do. But when we last left you in the previous segment, I was talking about just the ABCs, the basics of mutual funds, and why it's likely that you probably own a mutual fund. Sometimes you don't even know it. But if you have a 401k, chances are you own a mutual fund. If you have a 403b, if you have an IRA, if you have a joint account, if you have a trust account through a brokerage program, if you have a variable annuity, if you've got all sorts of different types of investments, the chances are you own a mutual fund or some variation of a mutual fund. But oftentimes when I ask people, what is a mutual fund and how's it work? They go, I don't know. Or I think I know. Mark, why don't you tell me about how that all works? So that's what I'm trying to do today. So where we last left off, I talked about the fact that a mutual fund was a big bucket of money where people like you and me and others in the world, institutions, 401k contributors, grandmothers, grandfathers, uncles, aunts, institutions, everyone, where they all put money into this. Some put in a large amount of money. Some put in $100 a week. Some put in $10 million. It's everything in between. But all of that money ultimately goes into this big bucket of money. We agree to hire a portfolio manager. A portfolio manager, and sometimes it's a team of portfolio managers, to take responsible for this big bucket of money, which generally has over $500 million. Sometimes it's over billions of dollars. It's a lot of money. And it's their job to use the money in the bucket, knowing that there's going to be money that's going to continuously get added to the bucket, yet there will also be people that will be requesting money out of the bucket, that they got to manage that bucket and buy stocks, bonds, or a combination of those things with it. And so in the example that we talked about in the last segment, we said we're going to hire a portfolio manager who's going to buy from amongst the largest large cap growth stocks that trade here in the United States. And we said that the S&P 500 is generally made up of 500 large cap U.S. stocks. 250 are called value, and we define value for the most simplest purposes as companies that take their profits and use a portion of it to pay dividends to shareholders. And the other 250 we call growth. These are companies that take their profits and reinvest it back into the company to make new and improved and updates to items. So we said this portfolio manager, this team of managers, has to look into their big bucket of money and select from amongst the 250 large cap growth stocks. And those could be anywhere from Tesla to Apple to Pfizer, to Home Depot, to whatever it might be, whatever they classify as 250 large cap growth stocks. We talked about the fact that the minimum number of stocks that could be in the portfolio has to be 20. And that's because no one stock can represent over time more than 5% of the portfolio. So that gives you, if you will, instant diversification. You know that if you're going to invest, imagine being able to invest $1,000. And with your $1,000, being able to own at least 20 different stocks. And in many cases, that portfolio has somewhere between 75 and 200 stocks in the portfolio. Sometimes more, sometimes less. So imagine for your $100, your $1,000, your $10,000 that you're investing into this fund, you have ownership in all of these different stocks. Now, what's the benefit of that? Would you rather own an allocation of, let's say, 100 different stocks for your $1,000 investment? Or would you rather own one stock? Well, I think we know the answer to that. It all depends on your risk tolerance, frankly. How much risk do you want to take? Is there a greater upside benefit? Could you make way more money if you owned one stock rather than that same investment spread over 100 different stocks? Oh, yeah. But you could lose it just as quickly. I mean, look, we've got General Electric just here in our own community where we've seen some significant fluctuation. We had Eastman Kodak, another one in our community. Polaroid, another one in our community. We've had lots of stocks that have both gone up and down. But you also have companies like Abiomed that's here in Danvers that have seen enormous success, but also fluctuation in their stocks and significant risk for those that bought it too high. Stocks will go up and down. That's what they're going to do. But imagine if you could temper the ups and downs if you had your investment owning several different stocks. I used to use this example when I'd go out and teach in personal finance classes in the schools. I used to use the example of Michael Jordan. And it's interesting when you walk into the high school and you say, who's Michael Jordan? And people like look at you with like a blank face. They don't get Michael Jordan. They don't get Michael Jordan. They don't get Larry Bird. I mean, I was at a Celtics game. I'm digressing for a minute. I was with a friend of ours who was at a Celtics game with me, and he turns to me and he says to me, Mark, if you could have the opportunity, I know you don't wear Celtics shirts to games or anything like that, but if given the opportunity to have one shirt representing the Celtics, one ball player shirt with a name on the back, who would it be? And I said, Larry Bird. And he said, me too. And he's 56, 57, I'm 52. But I assure you that that's not how the world thinks right now. Larry Bird was the greatest, but I digress. But let's take a look at Magic Jordan. Also, an amazing basketball player. Loved to watch Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan. Magic Johnson was pretty good, and Michael Jordan, another great one. Magic and Larry played together. Then came in this little guy, Michael Jordan, who had not yet won a championship. He tried and tried and tried and tried, and then, boom, he became the greatest. And then the next, LeBron came after that. But Michael Jordan, so I digressed a little bit. Michael Jordan, if you may recall, Michael Jordan represented what sneaker brand when he was playing basketball? Nike, right? Everyone known as Air Jordans. Air Jordans. So, if you bought Nike stock, you were feeling, oh, I got Mike, right? That was the expression. I got Mike. And then one day, Michael Jordan decided to step up to the podium, and he said, folks, I'm throwing it in. I'm going to go play baseball. He said he was going to retire to go play baseball. What happened to Nike stock that day? Nike stock goes down. Now, are they making the sneakers any differently the Tuesday following Michael Jordan's announcement than they were the Tuesday prior to his announcement? No. But if you owned Nike stock, you weren't happy with the movement of that stock. But what do you think happened to other stocks like Reebok and Converse and Adidas and all those other companies? You think they all benefited? Sure they did. But if you had chosen just to own Nike stock, you may have felt a little bit of a pain point when the stock dropped. But if Nike was one of the stocks in your mutual fund, whether the mutual fund owned Adidas and Converse and Reebok or not, how badly do you think your mutual fund was impacted that day? It was marginal. In fact, it could have even gone up because some of the other stocks did. You see, that's one of the interesting things about mutual funds, is what they give you is instant diversification. Instant diversification. You know that when you buy a mutual fund, you're getting a collection of stocks that all fall within some type of an investment objective. Number two, what you get is you get professional money management, not your local neighbor who says, hey, I heard some great things about the XYZ stock, or I heard Calico Corners here on the street in Beverly. I heard they may be going public. No, that's not happening. It's a local private business here. But that's where we take our advice from, I got a guy, or I know somebody, or I read this newsletter. Folks, these are professional money managers that do this day in, day out. They get paid a lot of money, a lot of money. And they have enormous resources behind them to help them make informed decisions, to help them put disciplines in place so that they have buy ranges. They also have sell disciplines. When we buy individual stocks, we generally don't do that. But within a mutual fund, that manager who is buying individual stocks, but a collection of them, has those disciplines in place. So you get professional money management. You get diversification. You know what you also get? you get liquidity. You want to get in and out of your mutual fund, no problem. If the stock market drops 20% or whatever one day, and they've put a freeze on the trading on your particular stock, you don't have to worry about that. Mutual funds, you can get in and out. But here's one thing that's very interesting about mutual funds, and many people don't realize this. Unlike a stock that you can buy second to second, let's say you called up some brokerage firm and said, I want to buy the XYZ stock, 100 shares of the XYZ stock at the market, which means whatever the price is selling at the market. And they put that trade through. You buy that stock at whatever that price was trading at the time the trade is placed. But if you said, Mark, here's $10,000 to put towards the ABC Mutual Fund, that $10,000 goes into a pool of money where your mutual fund is purchased at the close of business that day. So think about that. You know, when you've seen... you've seen the stock market go up and down, up and down, and up and down in a given day, just hours within the day. If there were 9 or 10 people that each decided to invest in the XYZ mutual fund, one bought at 10, one bought at 10:30, one bought at 11, one bought at 11:30, one bought at 1, one bought at 1:30, and so forth and so on. When the market was up or the market's down, all of those people will buy their mutual fund at the same price. They buy it at 4 o'clock that day. But you also have liquidity. You know that. You know that you can get your money out. So you get professional money management. You get diversification. You get liquidity. You know what you also get? You get the ability for you to have the benefit of dividends from a variety of different investments, a variety of different stocks, if you will, or bonds or whatever it is in your portfolio. And they're not little piddly dividends. Because if you had let's say you had $1,000, and you bought a mutual fund that has 100 stocks in it, each some that pay a dividend, some that don't. Think about how small that dividend would be for each share that you owned of each of those stocks. Within the mutual fund, they pool all of those dividends and pay them out once a month or once a quarter, depending upon the investment that you own. So there's a little bit more predictability that goes along with it as well. There's liquidity, there's clarity. You can see through Morningstar what's owned in the portfolio. And that, my friends, is why I believe that owning a mutual fund provides you some peace of mind. When you hear that the stock market dropped 5% for the day or that it went up 5% for the day, chances are you don't need to be scrambling to find out, did I make money or lose money as bad as the stock market did? Chances are, because you owned so many different securities in your portfolio, the range, the volatility, the ups and downs of what you could have earned have been minimized. And that's what you want. You want to shoot for a reasonable rate of return. You want to build a portfolio that delivers in a reasonable range, not down 30 to up 30. You want to squeeze it down, especially if you're looking to build a long-term investment strategy, and especially a strategy designed to pay you income on an ongoing basis. I like mutual funds. I think they make sense for a lot of investors. You got to make sure they're right. You got to make sure they align with your risk tolerance. And I'll have more financial advice in a language you can understand when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial of Peabody. 2018 will be remembered as one of the most challenging market environments in a decade. And if you're like many, you're wondering whether your investment portfolio and overall financial plan is best positioned for the future. At Friedman Financial, we pride ourselves on delivering financial advice in a language you can understand. Let's make 2019 the year you get your financial house in order. It's your plan. It's your retirement. Let Friedman Financial help you get there.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. How are you doing this Sunday? No football this week, but don't you worry. There's football next week. especially if you're a Patriots fan. We are playing next week in the Super Bowl. What a great game it was this past week against, who did they even play? Does it matter? No, against the Kansas City Chiefs. They played, man, I think the Chiefs played pretty great too. And Tom Brady proved that he's once again a classy individual, went over to see Mr. Mahomes and congratulated and wished him well. I mean, that is the future of this league. I mean, the Patriots dynasty, well, many people have counted us out for a number of years, thought it would end. It's not going to end this year, but we all know that the good times are bound to go away. I mean, that's going to happen. I remember the days back in the late 80s, 89, 90, 91, when I was working for a company called Atlas Paper Company. This is before I got into this business. I was selling takeout containers, Chinese food takeout containers, deli paper, you know, all the takeout stuff that you could imagine, and printed shopping bags. And one of the areas that I had was Foxborough. And so you'd go down to Foxborough, and there was this little store there called the Country Store. Now, if you've been down to Patriots Place or been down to Foxborough, you know the Country Store is still there, but it is now wrapped in a McDonald's. And the guy that owned the Country Store, I give him a lot of credit. He put up with, you know, thinking I'm just down the street from Foxborough Stadium, which I think was called Schaefer Stadium at the time, or might have been called Remington Steel. I don't know, whatever it was. Remember the Remington Shavers or all that kind of stuff? They had so many different names. Our CMGI Field. Remember that? It was called CMGI Field for 1 year. So we were, you know, he would struggle down there, hoping that the Patriots would pull in some people because he would do his Country Store business. And back then, you couldn't even watch a local Patriots game on television because they couldn't get enough people to go to watch the team in the stadium. Imagine that. Imagine that. Not being able to watch a Patriots game. You'd have the CBS game of the week, and you'd be watching, you know, the Indianapolis Colts play the Miami Dolphins because the Patriots couldn't pull enough people in to Schaefer Stadium or whatever it was, and so we'd be blacked out. It was horrible. But man, things have changed, and the guy that runs the Country Store is smiling as big as he can smile. With a McDonald's there, he uses his lot for parking. Man, this guy is doing very well, and I'm so proud. I'm so happy that he stuck to it, and I'm glad that it's all worked out for him. But we've got some great things. We really need to appreciate what we have. I think we finally do, because, you know, the good times have to end. But one of the things we know is that we've got four great sports teams here in Boston, and generally what happens is one other sports team picks it up when the other one starts to have a little bit of a challenge. So we got great things ahead for us. Next Sunday is going to be fabulous. I'll be watching the game. I'm hoping, getting my fingers crossed, that perhaps I will be on BBC TV again. I've put out the request, have not heard from them yet, to be the venue for, if the Patriots win the Super Bowl, that they would broadcast from my home the championship win and the celebration and the party and all of that. I have a friend that works for BBC. And we've done that every time the Patriots have won the Super Bowl. We get a nice segment that they do on BBC. So perhaps we'll do it again, I'm hoping. But Patriots have to win first, and we're counting on them. Anyways, the last couple segments, we were talking about some basic ABCs of personal finance. What is a mutual fund? Because chances are every person, whether you're, I don't know, 23 or 93, you're going to own a mutual fund. Chances are people are not going to be owning individual stocks. I think that that you have no business owning individual stocks unless you're really willing to lose all your money. You know, if you're willing to do that, you know, go to Foxwoods, go to Springfield, go to the new Encore that'll open up, wherever it is. But for now, stick with mutual funds. Let professional money managers buy and sell the stocks that should be in your portfolios. Let them decide when you should sell a particular stock or buy a particular stock. You don't know. You're going purely on gut. You're going perhaps on a research report. But do you think a portfolio manager makes a decision based on a research report? No. It's research reports and visits and analysis and a team of people talking to the managers and getting out there and really analyzing and talking to the people that buy the product as well as the people that manufacture it. You want to be with a mutual fund. Or if you want another way to do it, if you say, well, I don't want to pay for the manager to go out and do the work, but instead I'd like to buy a collection of stocks that it represents a particular index, you can buy something that's called an exchange-traded fund, an ETF, which is basically a collection of stocks designed to mirror a particular index, an unmanaged index in many cases. But you don't pay for the mutual fund manager to go out and select the stocks. The stocks are already pre-selected. So essentially, you're buying a computer program that manages itself against an index. You can do that too. That's what's called an ETF, is what's called passive investing, versus a mutual fund, which is called active investing. Active meaning the portfolio managers or is active. Portfolio manager is actually buying or selling securities in the portfolio. In an ETF or an index fund, you're basically buying a computer program of securities. And you're doing exactly what the index needs to do. I tend to believe, though many people will argue, that passive funds, index funds, have outperformed actively managed funds. I would frankly agree with that. I mean, you can't really argue it. They have over the past few years. But when markets get volatile, when they start to go up and down, active managers can present a tremendous value. What they can also present to you is the ability to give you liquidity when you need it. You see, when you're buying an ETF, an exchange-traded fund, that index can only have a portion of their money in cash. And what I mean by that, in cash means, well, if people were to sell out, people said, I want my money out of this exchange-traded fund, the exchange-traded fund has to proportionately sell stocks along with the cash to create the cash that you need to go to you. And if there's a whole run on money, we're selling a lot of stocks. In an actively managed mutual fund, the portfolio manager, as long as there's not too big of a call on money, they can leverage the cash that they have and just pay shareholders from the cash that they have and not have to sell the stocks. So during volatile periods of time, and frankly, I believe we are going to continue to be in a volatile period of time in the stock market. I'm not saying going to lose 40 or make 50%. It's not that kind of volatility, but we are going to have a lot of ups and down days because the markets move on sound bites. And that's what we seem to have in the news these days, is daily sound bites that creates inflection points on making us want to do something that we weren't expecting to do. And sometimes we just make decisions from our gut. And that can sometimes be challenging. I'd like to have a team of rational money managers behind me, supporting me, giving me the intelligence that, frankly, I'm perhaps too irrational to deal with as an individual investor, and let them make those decisions and let them produce the cash that I need or manage the new cash that's coming in. But what do I do? What do I do, Mark Friedman and Marion Gilman, and what does Friedman Financial do during these times? Well, you know what I'm doing? We're meeting with the managers or representatives of those managers. I want to make sure that I can look the managers or those representatives in the eyes to make sure that they truly have the experience, that they've been through those ups and downs, that they're managing their own internal expenses properly, that they have a plan on how they're going to have a buy discipline and a sell discipline within each of the stocks that they have within their mutual funds. What industries they're favoring over others. And also, who they view as their competition. I always find that fascinating, to talk to these portfolio managers to say, you know, what other funds do you see yourself competing against? And if someone says, I don't compete against anybody, they're lying to you. They are tracking. I've been in their offices where they're tracking, you know, 9 or 10 different mutual funds that they say, look, these are the guys I want to compete with. I want to be measured against, because oftentimes portfolio managers are measured on how they perform against their peers, not perform in a vacuum. There's a lot of pressure on these people. They also have a lot of money to support them in making sure that they're delivering strong and solid investment decisions. Are you prepared to do that if you're going to buy an individual stock? Are you prepared to do that if you're going to buy mutual funds on your own? Frankly, I think you'd be better off partnering with a financial advisor who can give you the guidance and assistance of selecting the right managers at the right times for your portfolio that also incorporate all of the other aspects of your financial life. Think about this. Perhaps you're approaching retirement. Perhaps you're having to make a decision on, when should I take Social Security? When do I sign up for Medicare? When should I take my distribution from my IRA? How much can I take? How much tax am I going to have to pay? All of those questions that I just laid out have nothing to do with which mutual fund you should own, does it? Or which investment you should own? No, it doesn't have that at all. But those are critical questions. What type of tax withholding should I have when I get my paycheck each week? How much should I contribute to my 401k plan? Should I put money into my Roth? Should I convert my IRA to a Roth? Is this life insurance the right thing for me to own? What about these annuities that I hear about? Is it worth purchasing them? Should real estate be considered part of my overall asset allocation? Should I buy rental real estate? Should I become a landlord? How do I help out my kids? How do I pay for college costs? How do I assist my folks who are struggling because they need to get into a nursing home but they don't have the resources to do it? What burdens will they create on me and my family and our ability to be able to do other things? Lots of questions. And none of those involve whether I should buy the A, B, C, or D mutual fund. That's what I call the grains in the sand. The stuff that doesn't matter as much as the big stuff. I mean, you've heard the story about you got to take care of the big stuff first. The big stuff is making sure that you have enough resources put aside to protect your family in the event something happens to you. You want to make sure that you are spending within your means and not over your means. You want to make sure that you're conveying to your children and to your family how much they mean to you and that they're sharing how much they mean to you as well. Picking the proper investment is a grain in the sand. Is it more important to help your child select which college they're going to go to? How to make the proper decision on which credit card to purchase or which bank to affiliate with? Or how to make a smart buying decision when it comes to using a credit card? Those things are a lot more important than deciding, well, let's put it all on red or let's put it all on black. Folks, those are grains in the sand. At Friedman Financial, we focus on the big picture first and always. We take a financial planning approach first and always. Selecting your investments and building an investment portfolio is something that we do for every single one of our clients. In fact, we manage over $400 million for the 450 families that we serve. But we select all those things after we've put a smart financial planning strategy in place. So if now's the time for you to say, you know what? I need a second opinion. I need to get my financial house in order. I need to consolidate everything that I have that's everywhere. I need to stop talking to people that I think are fun, but I need to talk with a group, an organization that takes my financial situation seriously. Give our office a call. We offer a free one-hour consultation in our office. No obligation. You will feel zero pressure. Anybody who's ever come to one of our meetings knows that if you want to work with us, work with us. If you don't, that's okay too. If you just want to have a conversation, fine with us. We've been doing this for 50 years, folks. We've been through several generations of families. We average a death a month in our office, and so we know the full life cycle of what happens. And we know how to deal with surviving spouses. We know how to talk to the surviving children. We know how to provide you guidance on every aspect of your financial life. So if now's the time for you to get serious about your financial planning, I hope you'll give our office a call. 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us on the web, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. There's a little tab up there that says new client information. If you want to truly see how we work, it's up there. I'm sharing it with you. We got nothing to hide. This is not some corporate developed little sales pitch that's up there. We wrote it. This is our style, our approach. If you like it, great. If you don't, that's okay too. Let's find something that works for you because we'd love to meet with you. But we got to get out of here for now. I got a week to prep up for our Super Bowl party, and hopefully you will have some great food, great entertainment, great things to do as you prepare for the Super Bowl, but also have a great week this week. I'll see you next week. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.